hell is coming home. Ninja rockin', got him the dog up on. Put on your boots for Jesus, hell is coming home. Hell is coming home.
Raven and the Blues, Talk Radio Europe on the coasts of Spain, Radio Napa on the coast of Cyprus, Kansas City Online Radio, of course, in the States, podcast across the world, 16,000 subscribers, and that is a band who've got every one of my microphones in use, every one of my XLR cables in use, and that's the Mighty Bosscats, and Richard Townend. Richard, I believe when you were coming, I wasn't certain whether I was getting just you and a duo, which I know you sometimes incarnation is, or the trio, or the complete band.
I know. We're such tarts. We play with anybody.
So we've got... Is this the complete Mighty Bosscats? It's not, is it? Because you've got...
Well, we have dancers.
We have dancers.
Backing vocalists. Yeah. And we have an orchestra occasionally that we bring along with us. But this is the Bosscats as such. Gary, our drummer, unfortunately, is in hospital at the moment. So Matt has kindly decided to... he wants to be part of the Bosscats.
Has Matt sat in before with the band?
No.
Ordeal of fire, eh? Yes.
Absolutely, yeah. We audition people under pressure.
So how did you choose Matt today? I mean, was it just a matter of going sort of...
Well, we went through 15 other people.
I've actually played with Matt before. So,
yeah. Yeah, so you knew he was going to be able to pick it up pretty quickly. The band itself seems to have been together in its present incarnation, what, 5-6 years, is it? Or
I guess so, yeah. I mean, it was originally a Stevie... Ray Vaughan tribute band as a trio, the Bosscats, which we were all bald, and that's where the name came from, bald old sad sods cats. And then Terry just used to just hang about at the stage door and say, "Oh, let me play, please." And he'd turn up at the gigs and absolutely. And then we became more acoustic, and then me and Terry just started doing. We did an album called House of Acoustics, just me and Terry, and then. Jeff joined us from Southend,
Which is your old County Island Southend based, aren't you?
Yeah. Jeff got an Asbo, and and one of his options was to come play with the band as part of his community service. And
every wrong note is another month with the band.
That's right. So I picked up Jeff today from Southend, and unfortunately there wasn't room for the care worker.
She's had to stay behind. Yeah,
here we are.
In terms of the music you do, you sent me at one stage a complete breakdown of sort of every MP3 you ever
a complete library,
a data download. But basically, your last album was what, about a year ago, was it?
The last Boss Cats album, we did one in January last year, one in May last year, that's the band one. I did three acoustic albums, one in May.
So all the stuff you sent me was all pretty current then?
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, I mean, all this is probably a year and a half. These songs we're playing now are for the new album.
Because what you hadn't done was kind of date these things, so I kind of assumed it was your back catalogue going back a decade or something. No.
Those have all been recorded in the last year and a half.
That's fairly prolific, then, isn't it? Really? Yeah. So, do you write with the band or on your own? Or how does it work?
No, I usually write on my own. Terry writes. Jeff writes as well, but he's got another outfit. Phil also writes as well. So, this next album is going to be the collaborative effort, and these are the songs that we're just sort of gigging up now to get ready for recording.
And in terms of, you were at Billericay for the New Brunswick Blues Challenge earlier on this year, about a month or so ago.
Yeah.
Sadly, you didn't win that.
No, we didn't.
But in terms of gigging, you're fairly extensive around that kind of southeast, south delta area, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah. The Dengie Delta Blues, as we like to call it.
So that track is brand new. When you were playing it, I thought, I haven't heard this before. I went through your collection pretty quickly, but I didn't ring any bells with me. That's the reason why. I've never heard it before.
Yeah, that's a new one. Yeah. We've not recorded that one, so we just thought we'd try them out. And we just enjoy playing. I enjoy writing songs. And every time I write a new song, I want to play it rather than the old stuff.
Yeah,
which is 2 years old.
But in terms of when you're gigging, are you mixing your set list? Is it a mix of the old favourites of other people's, the covers, as well as your own, or is it mostly your own?
No, we only ever play our own stuff. We occasionally play Hey Hey, and what's the other one we do?
Before You Accuse Me.
Before You Accuse Me. Those are about the only couple of songs that we do as covers.
But we do mix them up with some of the older songs, don't we? We like to bring them forward. They're good songs.
Yeah.
Talking of songs, obviously you're going to be playing stuff off the forthcoming album. What are you going to do for us next?
Let's try Candyman. I was asleep on, had my fun. In disgrace, I call my name, and it'll be judgment. Thank you.
you're gonna call me, but don't call me for fun. I got some anger, won't rest until it's gone. I got some payback to do. I'm gonna do it through you. Call my name and it'll be Judgment Day.
First time you played Candyman?
Hmm?
Is that the first time you played that track?
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, but obviously, so you wrote that, Richard, or is it your team?
Yeah. That song is about Stephen King's Candyman, which is a black slave that was covered in honey and stung to death and came back. And I just thought it was a good... information for a song, really. And that's what most of our songs are about, document things. We don't just fall in love with 17-year-olds. And
those are the days, yes. But it sounds like writing comes remarkably easy. But is it the lyrics or the music? Which comes first, the tune or the lyrics?
It's a bit of both, really. Mm. I'm terrible at copying things per se, so I'll copy, a guitar solo, and I won't copy it right, and then it'll come, morph into something of your own. Mm-hmm. And everything's about plagiarism, and you put a different slant on it. I mean, we've got songs about bombings in London, bombings in Omar. We've got songs about girls leaving town and becoming prostitutes and dying, and we've got lots of unhappy songs.
We can really bring you down, can't we?
We can, yeah. If you really, really are in a happy mood, put on some... No, we've got some happy songs. We've got a song called She's My Best Friend, which was written about Martin Offler's guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
BB King,
which is that's a really good... really good song of Terry's about a band forming and things. Song has got a story.
I mean, some of the bands that come here, you can sense when they arrive, they actually haven't seen each other for probably a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And you have this sort of long conversation, hey, how you been doing kind of stuff, but in your case, I get the feeling you're actually together quite a lot of the time, are you?
Well, we try to rehearse once a week or see each other musically. We've got history together, haven't we?
Have you also reached the stage where the ego bit is behind you now? I'm looking around the room here. They're all being very dispassionate.
I don't know that we do. I mean, you wear a fancy waistcoat sometimes. That's about as far as it. It's about as far as it goes, really. Yeah, still had a haircut. No, I think.
Just enjoy playing and writing songs. Mm-hmm. I just want to get the songs out there, really.
Yeah. Has the revolution in technology, the way that actually you can create and record an album without having to spend huge amounts of money with studio time and things, has that liberated you?
Well, it is going to be liberating us this year because I've got a room that I'm just converting into a studio. Mm-hmm. So we'll be recording the album there, but we'll still need technical help.
Yeah.
There's such a... people like yourself that have got good ears. I mean, we're old and deaf.
I don't know about my ears sometimes. The odd thing is the mix down you do. I mean, when you go into a proper studio and hear the mix, first of all, they put on lovely studio monitors. Yeah, then they play it back on a little tinny speaker.
Mm. Yeah.
And then if the guy knows what he's doing, he'll give you a pair of earbuds as well, because it's going to be listened to in lots of different ways.
Mm. Yeah.
And the odd thing is the number of times when I do a mix here and I put the show to bed and I think that sounds pretty good to me, and I do that on headphones, on speakers, and then I'm in the car listening to my show, and I listen to the mix and think, well, I didn't do that, did I? That makes no sense at all, you know?
Yeah.
And it sounds different almost every time you listen to it, in a way. Yeah. And you can easily spend, I know people do, you know, many hours in the studio doing the mix down afterwards, just getting...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I did a solo recording last year, which took a long time because I had a lot of problems with the house to sort out, so it was on the back burner. And he kept giving me the mixes, and I put them in the car, and I said, this just doesn't sound right, Dave. And then he'd mix it again, and I'm sorry, Dave, it just doesn't sound... And anyway, we got to the bottom of it, was that my two tweeters on my car had
blown up. it's the same way. I mean, when you get to my age, the high end also has disappeared as well, you know, so I'm sort of doing mixing for a deaf man, you know.
Yeah.
Well, there again, by the time it gets put as an MP3 and goes out, I mean, I've got no idea what the stations in Spain and Cyprus do with the sound, but most radio stations treat it with this thing called Optimod, which takes it with an inch of its life and it comes out like toothpaste, which makes my ears tired, you know.
Yeah.
And so I tend to leave it untreated, in a sense, which has lots of light and shade.
Yeah.
Which is a bugger if you're driving the car again, you know, or if you're on the Northern Line and it's very noisy, you know, all of a sudden the quiet passages you miss. But,
Yeah, I mean, the modern technology is really good, but I mean, the Beatles did it with old technology and sounded fantastic. So I think it's really...
Yeah, they had George Martin behind
them. You know, the fifth member of the band, like George Martin, that really makes it... if you could buy a Apple Mac download... Of
yes, this is the George Martin filter, that's right, yes.
That would be fantastic.
But I think we also play... I mean, we do mix it up with electric as well. Rich plays, but we all play electric. But when Jeff gets on the upright and you get the piano sounds and we play acoustic, there's a nice feel. You've got the light and the shade, the dynamics, and if you can pick that up in a live recording in a studio, then that's all for the good. That makes a better sound than over-egging it with too much technology.
I mean, that the Mighty Bosscats album was recorded probably in a room live.
Yeah,
about this size, a bit smaller, and then we overdubbed some vocals and did the guitar things that you don't want to cross breed.
Yep,
cross breed.
Bleed. Yeah.
So we recorded that live. We just went in one day and we did 10 songs off. And we had a drummer who'd rehearsed with us.
All right.
Unlike this time, yes.
Is that better?
So what curveball are you going to throw the drummer this time? What curveball are you going to throw the drummer this time? What are you going to do now?
Actually, the drummer that we... Gary, he has got a Cajon drum kit.
Oh, yeah.
Which is...
Mighty Cajon drum kit.
Yeah, so he sits on a Cajon and plays it, but then he's got a big Cajon bass drum.
Oh, right.
And then a Cajon one that he plays on top. And just a little higher.
Yeah.
And, you know, on the acoustic stuff that we do, that sounds... really good. But obviously, when we play the O2, it's not an album. O2's a little pub down in Canning Town.
What are you going to do for us next?
We're going to do 245 Express, which is a song about life, really.
There's a storm on the horizon. There's a storm on the horizon. Been stoned real high. Things that you bear for gone. Stone real high. had your billboard gone. There's a chance, a real chance, gone among someone. There's a chance, a real chance, gone. Can be turn down the heat, turn down the heat, turn down the heat. Pouring some sweet, pouring some sweet, pouring some sweet. Someone get burned, someone get burned, someone get burned. Pouring some sweet, pouring some sweet, pouring some
So you're going to say that's the first time you played that with the band, is it?
No. It is, yes. No, we did with Matt, yeah. And he did a really good job.
Yeah, lovely. Actually, we've only done it a couple of times out.
Yeah, we've done that probably 2-3 times. I think, you know, new songs need to be tried out.
Yeah.
And if you're in a pressured environment like this, it
I'm not pressuring you. There's no pressure.
No, you're not.
It's just
comfortable.
No. Nice.
In terms of the... Nice. I mean... You mentioned you were sort of started as a Stevie Ray Vaughan tribute band, but before that, obviously, there were influences. You were playing before that, weren't you?
Yeah. I mean, I was a professional musician from... I went to Leeds College of Music, mm-hmm. studied there, and then I had the... I used to play for Tony Christie.
Oh, yes.
Ronnie Corbett, mm-hmm. Dana, all the... big rock stars.
Ronnie Corbin.
Or little rock stars in Ronnie's case, who's a smashing guy. Mm. And about 24, 25, I just had enough, you know.
Right.
So I put my guitars away, really. I did a police covers band called The Fraud Squad, which was great. I was the only one that looked the part because I bought a blonde wig.
All right.
That looked like Handy Strummers, and the other guys dyed their hair.
Yeah.
The bass, the drummer, had black hair, and he forgot that you need to bleach your hair before you dye it blonde because he turned orange and he looked like an Oompa Loompa rather than the police. Yeah.
But then, what? Then you hung it up, hung your guitars up, and didn't play again. Is that because of sort of family and kids and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, it was. I just really wasn't enjoying playing.
Mm.
Which is really what you should be doing. And the work I was getting was, I used to play for the Platters as well, which was in Mecca Binga Halls, that we used to travel up and down the country. And really I wanted to be in a band and I never just found the right people.
Mm.
And
I mean, I think that applies probably in so many jobs, you know, sort of, you start doing something and when it becomes full time, you suddenly think, bloody hell, I didn't plan this, you know.
Yeah.
And it's not quite the same as I thought it was going to be. And it applies in DJing too, in radio terms. If you're any good in radio, you get promoted, of course, you know.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you look back and you're sitting in an office wearing a suit and you think, I haven't seen a microphone red light for months, years even. And, you know, what am I doing this for? So it's easy to get disenchanted by the business, you know.
But, absolutely,
And it's only when you get perhaps a little bit older and a bit more freer you can then think, okay, I'll carve my own furrow now, and if there's not a furrow, I'll make one.
That's right, yeah. And so I guess now we're just documenting life and just enjoying enjoying playing. Yeah.
But audiences are good too, because audiences change and they can... they like live music and they're prepared to give people a chance at doing what they do. So you can write your own stuff and not have loads of people coming up to you saying, can't you do this cover or can't you do that song?
That's a change in the last 5 or 10 years, isn't it?
I think so.
I mean, one of the common threads of the interviews we do here for the Raven and the Blues is that, yes, before they expected, you know, to know every number you were doing and know it well, but now they're prepared to listen and learn and hear new stuff as well. Yeah. And also, they're getting younger as well, which is a big thing, because you can't, at one stage, if you went to see a blues band, everybody was the same age as you, you know, with sort of pop belly and a ponytail, you know.
I think it's good that, I mean, to me, we've arrived when we play somewhere and we play our own music, people enjoy it and we get asked back.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that is just, you know, the icing on the cake. It means that, you know, we've connected with some people.
Yeah.
And we do have lots of different age groups that listen to our music, from 50 to 55. from teenagers like this type of music, right up to...
Well, I mean, there seems to be a blues boom. I say it kind of carefully because we've said it so often over the years, but it does seem at this point in time, with some of the young people who are coming through at present with some great voices and great playing and things, it does seem like there's a regeneration. And one of the big discussions we've had amongst sort of people in the business recently has been, do we call it blues again or do we give it a brand new name? Because a lot of it isn't blues as the blues police would know it, kind of stuff, you know? But it is changing and it looks very healthy at present.
Yeah, I mean, this next song we're going to do is... It's a train shuffle for Matt. it's called
245
Express, and it's about life, being a train journey. And every blues band going to have a train song.
Yeah. And, especially you've got a harp player as well.
And with a harp player. And this is you
it's
know,
compulsory kind of stuff.
Yeah. A three-chord trick song.
Before you go into it, people want to learn more about the band. They have a website to go to, don't they?
Yeah. TheMightyBossCats.com. And I've also got richardtownend.com, which is a sort of offshoot of it. Yeah.
And there they can get the biog, get the gigs, but more importantly, buy the CDs as well.
Yeah, they can buy the CDs. They're also available on Amazon and iTunes and all good leading and not so good leading
online places. HMV,
And I'll just ask. I mean, if you like the music, you know, the CDs we only charge a fiver for them, and some people do put them on file shares, and you know, download them for, and you know, a fiver buys you 2 Costa coffees, and yet we've invested a lot of time and effort into these albums so that people can, you know, so it'd be nice to.
I'm afraid that tends to be kind of something which the younger generation today have, there's no concept of buying anything, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they saw it coming free with Napster and can't understand why they have to pay for it now. Yeah. But again, gradually I think that is changing a little bit again when they go out and see people working and they suddenly realise that, you know, this thing does have a cost.
Yeah.
And therefore it's worth spending that money at the edge of the night, and you've got the souvenir of it all as well, you know.
But, yeah. And we've also got one song which is actually from one of the solo albums on the classic rock cover, classic rock magazine. It's on the cover CD for the
number
21st
four.
Of February when it's out.
Oh, you're on the new one, right? Okay, yeah. Yes, that's good.
Mm-hmm. And that's just an instrumental called Sailing on this guitar, actually.
Right. I mean, that is a magazine which has kind of taken everybody by surprise, hasn't it?
Because yeah.
It's sheer price, and yet it seems to be doing remarkably well. If you're listening in the States, it's a magazine which is kind of top shelf. It comes already in a cardboard box. It gets a free CD. It's £8, which is $12 roughly, which is a lot for a magazine. And yet, it's only issue number 4 so far, 5 coming out. It's kind of fresh.
Yeah.
It's only once every 2 months as well, which is unusual. And yet, it seems to be picking up an awful lot of listeners, or not listeners, but readers.
Yeah.
And lots of buzz about it too, which is good news.
Yeah. Anything that promotes it, you know, the general scene is.
So, you're going to close with?
This is 245 Express.
Train driver, won't you stop this train? We're running out of track, you're lost again. Mr. Train driver, you seem to be lost. And Mr. Train driver, you don't give a damn. We're on this train, 245 Express to nowhere. Started to ride this train so many years ago. Fresh out of mama's arm from the love depot. Been on the train before, and it's a train driver to take an exchange. On this train, 245 Express to nowhere. Strangest town.
on this train. 2:45 express arrived. We're on this train. 2:45 express arrived. We're on this train. 2:45 express arrived.
Yeah, mind the gap. 2:45.